Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea. Good evening. This is Gene Schmidt, and I'm filling in for Mike tonight. Mike had something come up, but you're going to find we're going to have a very interesting radio show tonight. I've got a couple guests for tonight. And one of the guests is Keith Atwood. Welcome, Keith.
Greetings, everyone. It's Master Keith Atwood.
And Jeff Sievertson.
Hey, everybody.
Jeff, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
And great. And I want to talk about a couple things tonight that I think are very important. There's quite a few things happening, of course. We see so many of the events that have been happening with the weather, especially with Houston. And we've seen so many events happening with Russia and many things. And it's all lining up with many of the things that Dmitry Dudeman mentioned that would happen. And so we do want to talk about those things. But Jeff, why don't you open us up in prayer tonight?
Sure thing, Gino. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask that you would be with us this evening as we get into discussion about the things surrounding us, the things that are surrounding the church, the things that are surrounding America, the things that are surrounding our world. And Lord, we do want to lift up those that are in Houston, along the Gulf Coast, all those folks in Texas, Lord. We know that there are many churches and organizations that are reaching out into this tragedy to do what they can to not only meet physical needs, but to also meet spiritual needs. And we know, Lord, this is an opportunity for those that have been struck hard with having lost everything, Lord, they can come to the knowledge and understanding that they can have everything in you, not possession-wise, but spiritually have fellowship with you, to be joined with you. And we pray for those workers in Christ that are going down there to meet physical needs, but also help them, Lord, to open their hearts and their minds to hear the spiritual needs that they need, Jesus Christ. So we pray for them, and we thank you for tonight's broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, nobody rejoices when weather, in fact, becomes catastrophic. But I will say a few things about this. I kind of was studying out some of the gay pride parades in Texas. And there was a day when the Bible Belt really was the Bible Belt, and people lived out the gospel, and it was lived out in community and many other things. But in this year in June, Corpus Christi had their first gay pride parade. And Houston had their gay pride parade in June with 700,000 people in attendance. And I just had to ask a question, Jeff. Do you believe there's any correlation with these events and the weather that's been going on?
Well, it is interesting you say that. And I was thinking back. I honestly didn't realize that there was a gay pride parade that had took place back in June of this year. You say that took place in Houston?
Yeah, in June, 700,000 people in attendance.
I didn't realize that. One of the things that I did read about, it was some time ago, and I think it was a book that was either called Eye of the Storm or An Eye for an Eye, and it showed correlations between hurricanes hitting America and any time America got involved with attempting to restart the Middle East or the Palestinian-Israeli peace negotiations. And I had heard recently that I guess Jared Kushner was a part of that, who's, of course, the son-in-law of Donald Trump, who had apparently kicked off those negotiations again shortly before this hurricane had hit. Now, I don't know if you've ever read of that book or have heard of that book that kind of drew those parallels, but now that you've mentioned, you know, this issue, you can't help but wonder, obviously God has definitely gotten our attention, But I do often wonder if there is some connection or significance as to these events. Obviously, we know from a biblical standpoint that there are events that take place that had a very profound impact upon a nation, you know, in a form of God getting a nation's attention in a form of judgment, whether that was famine that came upon the land, whether that was a plague of locusts, or it was a drought, or it was an enemy, whatever it may be. So I don't know. Is our pastor friend, what does he think of these correlations?
Keith, what do you think?
Well, I believe, you know, in sowing and reaping, I believe that, you know, our nation was established on godly principles. And I know there's a big push today with the liberals and the left-wing zealots and those that want to move us away from godly principles, away from Christian values, and get into a more liberal mindset that's anti-God, anti-Christ. So the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well in the land today, I believe, from the White House down to other people's houses. But, I believe when we look at biblical history, we look at the Old Testament, we always see a cause and then an effect. And I truly believe there's a direct correlation to, you know, some of the things we're having, weather patterns, some of these storms, and possibly even this hurricane hitting Houston and the Gulf Coast could be directly related to, you know, people interfering, getting involved with biblical things that we ought to keep our hands off of, and God's end time plan. And also just rebelliousness in the land and some of the other things going on in our nation. And so I believe it could be a direct hand of God moving upon, you know, rebelliousness and antichrist activities and things of that nature to wake up the American people and Yahweh letting us know that, you know, we're not going to get away with these types of things and activities and choices and decisions, because it tampers with the hearts and the minds of people, and it's causing people to fall and stumble, and it's definitely pulling us away from godly principles and the way the church was established and the way America was established. So, yeah, I totally agree. Long story short, I totally agree that does happen, and I believe it's happening now. And we're going to see it in the future.
Exactly, Pastor Keith. And the thing about it is, my brothers, is that people today, even in the church, are afraid to mention the fact that God might be allowing these weather judgments to wake America up. It's like many people have become fearful, even in the church, of suggesting some of these weather issues. Like, how do you get 50 inches of rain in 3 days? 50 inches, setting records that have never been set outside of Noah's day, you know, and possibly one or two events in history. And so there have been few people study out the gay pride parades, and within a month or two of many of these parades around the country, things have happened in these cities. And I do believe in God's wake-up calls, and I do believe in God allowing situations to try to wake people up, wake cities up, wake nations up. And I don't believe that our holy God of heaven, you know, who knows all things, is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Obviously, the hand of God's involved. And I strongly believe that, I believe even Dimitri had dream about where God was saying that I would even allow things with the weather to try to wake the nation up. New Orleans, you look at Hurricane Katrina, and you look at the timing of that, you know, and you look at what events were going on at the time, and I'm quite sure at that time there was some involvement with the president and also the leader of Israel in returning part of the Golan Heights, taking it away from these Israelites, you know, the camps and all the businesses and things they had set up there. And during that time, it wasn't long after that when this agreement came between I believe, Bush and Sharon in Israel is when the hurricane hit. And I would like to, I do believe that these catastrophic weather events are allowed of God to wake people up, to get people's attention. It surely does do that. Sadly, not for long enough. But go ahead, brother, share your thoughts on that. That's my thoughts initially on it.
I'm sorry, was that for Keith or for myself?
Or Jeff. Jeff, go ahead, Jeff. I'll start with you, brother.
Okay. Yeah. We're kind of all brothers here, right? As we're sitting here talking, I'm trying to look back through, and actually that you mentioned President Bush, I remember the cover of the book. It did have like a hurricane in the background and President Bush up front, and I'm trying to remember the title because I had read an excerpt from it. I think it was posted on WorldNet Daily, and they had several different correlations about any time that America would meddle with the Middle East in the attempt of trying to split God's land. Almost that day or like within a day, they would see some sort of devastating hurricane or weather phenomenon that would hit America. And, you know, like they say among the Jews, you know, coincidence is not a kosher word. And so when you see those correlations that keep happening, you can't help but wonder, is God getting our attention? And I think he does. I think that he uses these events to bring us back to a place where we question, okay, where are we at? Because clearly we are at a place in this country where we're divided. We are just split down the middle.
That's right.
And there's and Pastor, you could probably remember the scripture that talks about that there will come a time when the Lord will actually lift the skirts of a nation to reveal the parts that they don't want to be seen. Obviously, the imagery is that of lifting the skirt of maybe a woman, and you know, because a woman is supposed to be covered. Well, these parts are being lifted up. Now you're seeing her shame. Well, our shame is now being put on full display. And it's not just, you know, the immorality that's taken place in the culture. It's the immorality that's taken place within the church. It's the immorality that's even taken place inside our own government. I was hopeful to see when Trump stepped in that, you know, some of these things would turn around. And I think what he ended up doing is he revealed how corrupt our government has become and has always been, in essence, for quite some time. I mean, when I heard about that the Obama administration was actually stealing from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and actually using those to fund the Obamacare subsidies because the Congress said you can't take from the Treasury. So they were actually stealing. That was never reported. It was never shown. And it wasn't only until Trump had gotten the White House and leaked some of this stuff out that we could actually see the level of corruption that was taking place within our own government. So when Dimitri had his dream about that the government, that people will start fighting with the government, it also said that the government will be busy with internal problems. And I think on the last broadcast, I always thought that meant that the government would have to deal with an unruly populace. But if we look at it the way it's going right now, it's like one part, small part of the administration is fighting a much deeper part, which is what they call the deep state. And so we're really getting to see this whole thing exposed, and it's truly a shame, but it also, I think, reflects back on us as individuals that over the years, because church leaders, pastors, congregants did not take the opportunity to step up. Kind of like, Gina, what you're doing in your town, you guys are stepping up to the sin that you see trying to creep its way in. Well, if you take that on a much larger scale, if the church would have done that in every town, every community, every state, we could have seen this push back. But because many of us were silent, whenever the darkness sees that they're silent, they see that's an opportunity to keep moving forward. It's only when you bring the light of truth, that's when they start to scatter, kind of like cockroaches when the lights come on. But I think what this is demonstrating is, especially with what Trump is doing, because he is bringing forth, he doesn't have a problem talking about what's going on. He doesn't care what people think. He really doesn't have a spigot to turn his mind off as to what he's thinking. Sounds like somebody's calling somebody. But it's amazing to see that how much our inward parts are being exposed, not just for America to see, but for the whole world to see.
I agree. And Keith, what's your perspective on this? We've been bringing this up with wake-up calls.
I think you have to take a look at some of the deep-rooted issues and behind-the-scenes puppeteering and scenarios going on. And obviously we have to look at the New World Order, the One World Religion, One World Government, One World Economic System. So there's plots and plans and players all in place. And so things are being manipulated and trying to be controlled by those in high places. You know, we've all heard the war stories about the secret societies and the big banks and the money people. And, you know, there is a lot of truth to that. And those things are real. They're not fabricated. It's not a Twilight Zone. It's happening today in our time. And so there's a big push. You know, that's why the Obama administration was trying to bring America low, trying to equalize us with the rest of the world, trying to deflate our military, the hearts of the people, trying to desensitize over a period of time to draw us away from God and godly principles, you know, to lead us in a direction and try to change the mindset of the USA. And, you know, through that administration, you know, Pandora's box, I believe, has been open. That's why there's so much open rebellion, so much schism and division in the country here, you know, between different groups. And so I think, you know, there's diabolical influences controlling, you know, nations and kings and kingdoms and governments and cities and states and nations and, principalities in high places. And so there's an orchestrated puzzle, and there's many pieces of that puzzle. So I really feel there's a strong delusion coming on the hearts of the people, and I believe there's a very, very deep, rooted scenario going on, and it deals with the New World Order. And, of course, we know that's going to help usher in the Antichrist and that movement. So, we see not only things playing out in our nation and across the world, but there's also spiritual warfare and conflict going on around us, and different peoples being used for, the kingdom of darkness and for the plots and plans in the hearts of men that are rebellious against God in our day and time. So, you know, I think that's something we need to take a look at and understand. A lot of people really have no clue where we're really at in this time frame and what's going on behind the scenes and what's going on in the realm of the spirit and the diabolical plans that are in place and how many people in high places around the world are being used to bring this, you know, to pass and help usher that in. So I believe there's been some things opened up, not only in our nation but across the world. And so, that's going on at the same time as well. So I think that's a deeper root issue than even some of the things we're talking about now. And so, I think we can open up and talk and discuss about that a little bit as well as we shift gears just a little bit, because it's all part of the puzzle. It's just a piece, but I think it's a major piece and a deeper rooted issue.
Yeah, I would agree. And I would say, along with Jeff and what you've said, Keith, I believe that God allows these events to wake us up. 9-1-1, weather events, financial things that go on. And the other point, besides issues that we've been bringing up about Israel and the whole gay marriage thing and et cetera, I think a second point of these wake-up calls is the slumbering of the church, as Jeff mentioned as well, the sleepy church.
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
absolutely.
The church is not as proactive as Jeff mentioned that they should be in standing against evil, in getting our feet out of the mud of the world, defending the preborn and defending traditional marriage more? What would happen if in Saudi Arabia you tried to enact gay marriage? You'd have an uproar. But Christian America, you know, there's a little bit of an uproar and then it dies out. And in a country of 55 million abortions, you know, sometimes you would think the church is maybe just accepted as status quo, you know. That's just the way it is. And I strongly believe God, who loves life, who is the creator of life, and God who created marriage and between husband and wife, how America can be so evil to suggest that gay marriage would ever be acceptable in any kind of spiritual denotation is crazy. But these wake-up calls are being allowed, I believe, to wake the sleeping church up. I think it goes along with Mike's dream, or not dream, but vision that he had about 911. When we were driving, yeah, before 911 happened, we were driving in Washington State when God showed him a vision that there'd be a tremendous wake-up call in America. And so I believe these events that have never happened in our lifetime, let's face it, you know, we've never seen cities of 4 million people other than New Orleans about inundated by water. I mean, it's biblical precedence, you know, it's biblical, of biblical proportions. And so I make the second suggestion about these events, that they're meant to wake up the sleeping church and Christians that aren't taking their faith and their walk serious and aren't standing for God in the way that they should. So, Brother Jeff, I suggest that, you know, these are wake-up calls to wake up the slumbering, you know.
Yeah, I was actually reading, I think it was in Matthew today, and I read the passage where Jesus said, "I did not come to bring peace but division." He would cause division between mother and daughter and mother, father and son and father. And he would do so he was a polarizing event or a polarizing person that forced people to choose sides. And God also can do that not just with himself but with events. And with some of the stuff that's taking place in our country today, they are truly polarizing events. Like, for example, this whole thing of wanting to turn children into transgendered children. There was a recent publication from the American College of Pediatrics. It was titled "Gender Ideology Harms Children." And this actually came out back in May of 2017. And they basically said, look, it's science. There's male, female. It's physical. It's not mental. You cannot force a child to, you know, if they say they like putting on dresses, then all of a sudden you say, well, that boy, we'll just make him a girl. And my wife, Pastor, you could probably tell us the scripture, but she was reading in a passage in the New Testament, and it talked about in these latter days that people will actually invent new ways of committing sin. Almost this idea like, you know, you couldn't do this before, but now we can do it. And here we are with, you know, genetic testing and genetic manipulation and hormones and all kinds of stuff. And now you've got people who are altering their bodies physically and then trying to chemically change themselves into something else, which was clearly not as God designed. And to think that in our country, or up in Canada, in other countries, Western nations that were once, you know, heavily Christianized, we've got people discussing issues of, hey, you know, my child thinks he's a girl. Let's go ahead and chemically alter this child. And it's like, are you crazy? This is just getting to a level of crazy that it's just, it's almost like it's just demonic. It's like the demons are now out wandering around fully without inhibition and without any kind of pushback, and they're just doing crazy stuff. And even I think up in Canada, they passed a law that said that if your child wants to be a different gender, you cannot say no to that child, and if you do, you will be arrested for child abuse. And it's like, are you serious? And so to see that we've gotten to this level, I think we've even far surpassed Sodom and Gomorrah, or Tyre and Sidon, or any of these other nations that just were wicked, I mean, if you take a look at, I think it's Revelation 18, I can't remember which, I think it's passage Revelation 18 talking about Babylon. I think it was Dimitri who had said, you know, take in one of his visions, he was told, take a look at that passage as it describes America. I mean, to think that that nation, Babylon, was that wicked, it had to be totally burned. And that nation is America. Oh, my goodness. You can now see, like 20 years ago, you think, no, there's no way. But now, as you look at what's going on all around us, it's like, oh, my goodness, you can clearly see how far we have gone down this rabbit hole. And like you said before, with these polarizing events or these get-your-attention events, I think that this hurricane is another get-your-attention event because, I've said this before, the heart of discipline is reconciliation. God desires not to cast judgment, just to cast judgment, but his desire is that you would turn from your sins, be reconciled with him. So the heart of discipline, the heart of judgment, is to bring us to a point of reconciliation with God. Even Rahab the harlot, as right as the nation of Israel was coming into the land, she understood that's the true God, and she and her family were spared because she believed in the God, even right up to the point of judgment. So God is merciful all the way through of this, and and God loves to forgive, and he's always willing to forgive, but sometimes people just don't want to turn. But again, back to the hurricane, back to these events, I do believe, yes, God is trying to get our attention. And what the scary part is some of this stuff will never get anybody's attention. They just don't want to hear it. They just don't even want to care to believe it. And that includes some of the people inside the church.
That's right.
Well, the thing is, when you bring up these things as possible, whether judgments or wake-up calls, get-your-attention calls, you know, I've had many people tell me they'll try to put something on a Facebook page suggesting that God's allowing something as a wake-up call, and it's amazing that much of the attack comes from other Christians. They're appalled that someone would bring that up or someone would cognitively say, this is because of our sin and because of our indifference and because of our lethargy. And it's like, are we that weak? Are we that afraid of people? I mean, not only has America gone as far into the depths of sin, for a country that says they believe in Judeo-Christian values, but we push it out into the world. We force, under Obama, he forced countries to try to accept gay marriage or they wouldn't get foreign funding. And same thing with Clinton before him. And it's like America doesn't just sin. America tries to shove it down the throats of other countries and threaten them that if they don't do this, this is what we're going to withdraw or withhold from you. And the same thing with transgender garbage, where under Obama, he was forcing the school leaders to mandate that transgender bathrooms would be allowed across the country and forcing transgenderism in the military and all these crazy, not Russia, this is not China, this is not countries that didn't have the gospel. It's in the country that had the gospel, that had the more gospel than any nation in the history of the world, that propagated the gospel, took the gospel to other lands. And it's like our debauchery and our wickedness is so of a depth, but yet when you bring that up, even on a social media site, Christians will call you judgmental, harsh, far right fringe lunatics, etc. And I say true vessels of God with the power of God, with the Holy Spirit of God, would speak God's mind and God's will, whether under threat or not, and not mince words. And it's like, you know what? It's God is allowing these things to shake up Babylon because Babylon's stubborn, rebellious, resistant, hard-hearted, hard-necked. And I believe it's the only way God can get many people's attention. And just like you said, Jeff, some won't even listen. Some won't receive it. And I strongly believe that before God would allow a nuclear attack or the judgments he showed Dimitri, for sure in his love and mercy, he's trying to wake this country up. And I think we're so stubborn at times and resistant that we don't get the message, you know. And I don't believe we should be intimidated that we can't blow a trumpet or warn or say, suggest, hey, God allowed this, because of sin, because of our rebellion, because of our pride. And it's like the church better get a backbone. You know, the church better start standing up, speaking up, and rising up and get their the wimpy, you know, disconnected, and almost acquiescing attitude that won't, you know, God forbid we bring it up as God's calamities that are a result of sin. And I think the Bible is full of judgments and wake-up calls that God used in many ways. And I'm also reminded that Dimitri many times, when he was followed by the secret police, God would allow a rainstorm so bad it would break the windshields of the police that were following him. Come on, that's God. That's God allowing it. You know, that's God allowing a domain that he's in charge of to deal with people the way he wants. And I just think, look at earthquakes. You know, I believe earthquakes, another sign of God trying to wake our country up. And, you know, I'm reminded of the fact that I believe Michael, I think, mentioned even another great earthquake that will come to America in San Francisco. And is the church going to be too afraid to suggest, you know, when you thumb your nose up to God and you march in these parades and you stick your fist up to heaven and you basically say to heaven, we'll live the way we want and do our debauchery the way we want, how we want, when we want. You better believe heaven will have a response. God will get the last word.
That's right.
And God will never accept that kind of demonization and rebellion. And you know, stubbornness is what? As the sin of witchcraft. And, you know, God blessed America and God can take the blessing away. God can bless a city and God can take the blessing away. And I believe that these wake-up calls, as you brothers are suggesting, I believe that not only are they allowed for these reasons, but sadly in the last, you know, you read Revelation 18 where God talks about, and even in Jeremiah 51, I would have healed Babylon, but she won't be healed. So that's just a sad commentary that after all these calamities, and even after some cataclysmic event, he suggests it won't be healed, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Brother Keith, I'll throw that out to you, but that's my spiel about it, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
You traveled with Dimitri. You heard the message, you know, many times, and
oh, yeah.
You know, you were with them.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
You're aware of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, indeed. Very aware. You know, a true story, an interesting scenario. I'm a veteran, and so I had to go down to a veterans hospital for an appointment. And part of the intake interview for my appointment, the lady said, well, we have to ask a new question now. And so as I sat across from her, she said, what gender do you believe you are today, male or female? That's one of the questions that's where, isn't that nuts, you know?
What do you say, the one that gives me the most benefits?
Right on, right on, yeah. I mean, we're talking about a U.S. military now. They have to ask that question to every veteran. What gender do you believe you are today, male or female? And so I can literally answer that question, my brothers. And that's how low we've become and stooped and how mesmerized and desensitized we have become. You know, it's just pathetic. And, you know, as you brothers were talking earlier, you know, some scripture that came to mind was, first of all, in Revelation, I really believe that the church right now is in the Laodicean church age, which has become very lukewarm and very compromising And so, you know, we're dealing with that as well. And I was also reminded of a scripture in the book of Matthew where Christ said the love of many will grow cold. And, you know, in the Greek, the word love is agape, and that word many is most. So what he's saying is because lawlessness, which is sin and rebellion, because lawlessness will abound, minimal, but abounding lawlessness and rebellious against God and kingdom principles, that the agape love of most people will grow cold. And he's not talking about the world. He's talking about the church. And he goes on to say, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. So, you know, there's a lot we're going to face, a lot the church is going to face, you know, to the on fire, truly holy converted Christian today, one who's anointed with the Spirit, sealed with the Spirit of God, then baptized in Yeshua's name, in Jesus' name, you know, gone down into the waters, and has become born again and converted, you know, we're going to appear radical to the world. And, you know, I already see the shift happening where, you know, take the Apostle Shaul, the Apostle Paul, that really thought he was doing God a favor in his day, coming against the zealots, the people of the way, and the Christians, the followers of Mashiach, Christ. And he would go into homes, and they had parchments. He would arrest, and he would, you know, take to prison, and he would probably have some killed, you know, thinking he was doing God a favor until he got knocked off his high horse. Well, the Bible talks about white becoming black and black becoming white. And we see where people with this mindset that have bought the lie and are furthering the lie, you know, are attacking the conservative, the Christian base. Those are really radically taking a stand for God, godly principles, kingdom dynamics here upon the earth. What the church is really supposed to be, we're deemed as radicals, and we're kind of in the way, live fish swimming upstream against the current, and the way the world wants to go, the way the spirit of this age wants to go, the way the spirit of Antichrist wants to go, the fallen order wants to go. And so we're kind of in the way, and so we're going to be attacked and highly persecuted. There's no doubt about it. And it's just really interesting. Many years ago, the Lord gave me a vision and a word that there's a great separation happening, a great division against the true worshipers of God and those playing church. And we've seen that happening over the years. And
we're definitely seeing
distinction.
It now.
Yeah, great distinction between, you know, those playing church, being religious, versus those that are really on fire, really understand the radical truth of living in the kingdom and being a representative of Christ in this earth, an ambassador for his kingdom and for Christ. And there's a great separation and a great difference, but people have called us crazy radicals, you know, stirring trouble, you know, prejudice, whatever the case might be. And, you know, the truth is, the gospel message of Christ and the cross is a very narrow-minded message. You know, we don't apologize for that. It's straight up. You know, it's a very narrow-minded message. And but it's the truth, and it's the gospel we're supposed to preach. So, yeah, we're in an interesting time, living to see a church age, backslidden church, the love of many growing cold. There's a lawlessness and sin, and there's a great separation between the true worshipers of God and those playing church. So it's an interesting day we live in. Many signs and wonders happening, many prophetic things coming to pass. We see even the earth convulsing, crying out for deliverance, and God using weather patterns to wake up a nation, a country. You know, his goal is for us to come to true repentance, and to fall on our faces and live a holy, clean, righteous life before him, and to be the light and the salt in this earth that he's called us to be. And the bottom line is, you know, the ministry of Christ continues, he being the head, overseer, the commander-in-chief of the body, and us being the body parts, where we in this life and day and age are his mouthpiece, his hands, and his feet. So his ministry continues on through us, through the body of Christ. And it is radical. It is interesting. It is awesome. And we should be walking and talking and ministering just like Christ did on the earth in his day. That's what the church should be doing today. And it's happening around the world. Should be happening more here in the U.S., but there's so much lukewarmness and backslidness and compromise. It's almost pathetic. And, of course, the word says that it makes the Lord vomit, you know, and makes them ill. And they'd rather have us hot or cold than lukewarm. But interesting day we live in. A lot of connections, a lot of pieces to the puzzle, and they all flow together to paint a picture.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Keith. And Jeff, amen. I pose this question. With a slumbering church or sleepy church, where do you believe, you know, God's mentioned, of course, with Mike with his dream or vision, rather, about 911. Where do you see the areas that you believe the church is slumbering in?
The places which they're slumbering is, I think they're turning their back on the enemy. And I was thinking of this when you had mentioned that the church has lost its spine. There was a book that was written by Richard Wurmbrand. He was the founder of Voice of the Martyrs, or the precursor to Voice of the Martyrs. And actually, Dimitri, from what I understand, worked a little bit with Richard Wurmbrand with smuggling Bibles into Russia and Romania. And he wrote a book, I think it was called Marxism is Satanism. And there was a quote in there from Karl Marx, who he believed was a Satanist, referencing Christians. It says, "Let's make them live out what they believe." And so for those that are subject to Satan, their desire is to push the Christian into the position, are they really going to act out what they believe? And recently in my class that I teach, we were teaching the Ephesians, and we were talking about the whole armor of God. And we went through each piece of the armor, and I said, what piece is not mentioned there as a part of the armor? And when you think about it, you realize that there is no back part to the armor. So the picture is obvious. You are to never turn your back to the enemy. Never.
Mm-hmm.
You are always advancing, or you're either advancing or you're standing your ground. But you never turn your back. And actually, even in the book Pilgrim's Progress, there was a scene in there where he talked about the main hero, Christian, where he had to stand up against Napoleon, and he didn't have the strength to move forward, but he knew if he turned his back, he would be dead. So he decided to just stand his ground. And that's the picture, that's the image that's given of in Scripture. As a matter of fact, like in James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And also in Matthew 15:18, it says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But when you think about what are gates, the gates to the city, those were a defensive infrastructure. They were not an offensive infrastructure. They were not used for attacking. They were used for defending. And so the picture that's being painted here is that we have already gotten up to hell, and we are pushing against the gates of hell, and we're going to knock them down. Well, unfortunately, the church has turned around, ran the other way, exposed their back, and actually ended up getting hit by the fiery darts of the devil and losing their power. And there's the other scripture, of course, that comes to mind where Jesus says, anyone who puts their hand to the plow and turns their back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. And so I think the biggest problem is that we have lost our backbone, and it took somebody who some believe is in Christ, but may or may not be. It took Donald Trump, a man who's got backbone, to stand up and say, no, we're not going to go this route. No, we're not going to go this direction. And I think what it's doing, it's taking the church by surprise, and it's reminding them that Jesus was the one who told us not to turn our back. It just unfortunately took somebody outside the church to remind us, don't turn your back. Don't give up. Don't stop fighting, because the enemy, just like Karl Marx, he is not going to stop fighting. He's going to do everything he can to figure out how to take you down. That's his job. That's what he wants to do. How can I take the church down? How can I take the Christian down? How can I get them to turn their back to me so that I can stab them in the back? And that's exactly what he's trying to do. And we have to stop turning around, and we have to start confronting. And like you were talking about, going against the flow, because that's exactly what you are doing as a Christian. As
mm-hmm.
you walk with Christ, you are going
that's
against
right.
the flow of the world. If the world is doesn't have a problem with you, then you are walking with the world. But if they got a problem with you, if they are arguing with you, if they're trying to shut you up and keep you down and keep your lips closed and don't talk about Scripture, then you know you're going in the right direction. If they're trying to stop then you know that resistance is telling you you're getting good resistance here.
Yeah, that's great.
Not only
awesome.
That,
good
I'd
word.
Like to make a point about that, that we need more backbone. We need more fortitude behind the pulpit. We need people that, you know, we need people not to be timid and afraid to blow trumpet, to sound the alarm. And I think we've almost gotten into a lull of passivity with
lukewarm.
The world. And, you know,
it's
I think
like
it's very critical.
Lukewarm.
Yeah, I think it's critical that people, you know, stand up and be strong and not fear persecution and not fear backlash. And, you know, I worked with Dimitru and traveled with him. And I can tell you one thing, when he started mentioning smoking and telling people to throw the cigarettes out, there was backlash. But
yeah.
that
yeah,
didn't
yeah.
last long. You know, after a little bit of trepidation and possible hesitation, there'd be a garbage bag full of cigarettes, you know. And, you know, it took a brother strong preaching the truth, you know, talking about sins that some churches have accepted as okay and speaking against it. And you know, think about going on to actually getting put into prison for being a Bible smuggler, you know, the Bible, that the passing out Bibles would be against the law. And one thing I love about Romania and many of the folks I've met over the years, they got backbone. You know, the Wernbrands, Dudemans, the brothers from even sisters from other countries. You know, you look at Harlan Popoff and Brother Andrew and so many. And one of the, and, you know, look at in Germany today, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. One of the key components of these true pillars is they weren't afraid to die for what they believed. You know, they weren't afraid to die and stand up for the truth. They weren't, you know, we are mamby-pamby. We are very wimpy. In the U.S. And the minute the heat's on, or we're threatened to lose our job if we sign a gay marriage certificate, or we're under some form of threat, it just seems like so many cower, even in the church. And the church has to be strong,
right.
You know, strong in the Lord and what? The power of His might. And who's going to defend the faith of the church? Who's going to do it? You know, who's going to defend the values of God if the church doesn't do it? Who's going to defend, you know, traditional marriage? I still believe every Christian should be vocally opposing any attempt to transgenderize our kids or force them to allow guys to use the girls' bathroom and all these crazy things that we've allowed, you know. And, again, we need to be that voice in the wilderness. We need to, you know, call out evil and stand against it and not be afraid. You know, I think it's a sign of true defending the faith properly. So, Brother Keith, you
Amen.
Agree? I mean, I believe you would.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one thing we got to keep in mind too, when we're looking at traditional marriage and God blessed marriage, and you take a look at that whole covenant relationship and what that's all about. And, you know, we look at over the years how the family structure unit has been one of Satan's number one targets, because we've all heard this statement before: so goes the family, so goes the church, so to speak. You know, the attack of the family, the brokenness of homes, the abuse, the single-parent households, you know, there's a lot of scenarios and a lot of victims and a lot of hurt. I really believe the children become the true victims of a separated divorce situation, and it's a lose-lose for everybody. But the point is, it's been under attack and assault, and I think one of the main reasons is because of the covenant between a man and a woman and a God-blessed marriage, when you look at Christ in the book of Ephesians and his instruction to the male and female, the husband and the wife, and the different roles and responsibilities that we carry and maintain in that, you know, you look at Christ's direct, you know, mere relationship with the church, with the bride as a word picture to a man with his wife or his bride. And, you know, both relationships are under covenant. And so, you know, when that gets broken down and attacked and deteriorated, you know, it does affect the kingdom. It affects not only the marriage itself. It's trying to change the mindset. And, you know, even at early ages now, we're looking at, what, kindergarten, first grade, they're talking about transgender stuff. We're talking about what gender you are and, you know, gender confusion and so on and so forth. I mean, the implantation at such a young age in these innocent minds, they're trying to grab a hold and control and manipulate and lead them in a direction they want them to go. So if the church doesn't evangelize and we don't minister to our children and to the young people, somebody's going to. And the only other option is the world influenced by the kingdom of darkness. And but, you know, I really believe that's why the family is such under heavy attack, is because of, you know, the word picture or mirrored image or the analogous relationship between a husband and wife and marriage with Christ and his church and his bride. So, you know, it's going to wax worse. So we have to do all we can to stand on those principles to protect the marriage covenant, the marriage vows, the true union of a man and a woman. You know, he told us to reproduce, you know, after our own kind. You can't do that with female and female and male and male. You know, you have to have a husband and a wife that's female and male gender to come together in covenant and, you know, to stay together. One thing that helped my wife and I is the big D was never an option. We decided early on that we would work together as a team to come to this understanding. My wife came out of a divorced home and situation. And, you know, we've set a precedent for our family, our generations. You know, we've got 12 grandchildren now. And our whole family and their spouses, our grandchildren, we're all worshiping and serving in the same church because of our legacy and our example and the things that we did right. Hallelujah. And it's awesome to see that. Now, if all the other families could produce such fruit, it'd be awesome. We'd have a changed world. The church would grow and it'd be amazing. So I really believe that's one of the main things with the ensemble of the family. It's been in works for many, many, many generations through demonic activity and people that open themselves up to that influence. But it's all about breaking covenant. It's all about destroying God bless marriage and homes to, again, as a form of rebellion and sticking their finger or their fist up the guy saying, you know, we're not going your way. We're going to rebel and do it our way. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can to hinder and to stop and destroy the growth of the church, families. And, you know, it's really sad. Probably, you know, I do a lot of jail and prison ministry. And 99.9% of all the ladies in the jail have been abused to one degree or another, violated, you know, physically, emotionally, verbally, and most of all sexually as a young girl. And I've been going into the jail and prison for almost 36 years now. And almost 100% of all the ladies and quite a few of the men have been victims of some sort of abuse as a child growing up, whether it be a family member, a neighbor, or whatever. And it's sad. It's really sad. And then they grow up and they hurt other people and they have confusion about their sexuality and you know, they violate others. So it's an ongoing cycle. But that's why the family, I think, and that's why with this transgender, that's why the gay thing is at an all-time high and all that. It's all about destroying the family, destroying the covenant, and destroying biblical principles with marriage. And, again, it's a direct mirrored image of Christ and his bride in the church and, you know, between a husband and wife. What do you think about that, Brother?
Amen.
Gino?
Well, not only do I agree, but I think it also shows, as you've been articulating, just the fall of our nation. You know, a nation that once stood up for these values, a nation that once stood up for the truth, a nation that took Bibles all over the world. And, you know, it's what God said in the Word. You know, Babylon has fallen. You know, it's not God patting America on the back. It's not God saying you're at the pedestal and peak of your spiritual, you know, fortitude. It's that you as a country has fallen that far. And fallen and become the home of what? Every foul spirit and unclean bird. And you know what? When God uses those terms, that's serious. That's, you know, and
yes, it is.
I think the greatest tragedy of it is that you look back in the 1940s, you look back during World War II, you look back at even the 50s, you look at how family was so important and there was no issues of gay this or gay that or transgender this or bath. If this stuff, you would have tried to shove that down grandfather's throat back then, he would have said, you're a quack. You're a, you
right,
know, you're
right.
Just a Looney Tune. And it's like, how? This is how far we've fallen as a country. And a country that claimed to have the Bible and probably printed more than any other nation. This is why I believe the judgments on America are going to be harsher than most countries in the world, because we knew better. You know, God's going to make Babylon an example to the world of what happens when you rebel and turn your back against traditional family and traditional marriage and values that were God-given. You know, it's like when you read the Founding Fathers' charters of the 13 colonies, or, you know, you read the Constitution and you read, they go, we have come for, you know, a more holy and sacred reason to serve God, to kind of, you know, and they, in the charters of the colonies, they write that we came for freedom of faith and to serve God. And it's like their fire and their vigor back then was to defend the values we're destroying and we're making illegal.
Amen.
You know, it's, if you try to stop a gay parade, they'll haul you into jail. And if, you know, they'll run after you if you have picket signs. I've been at gay parades where I've opposed it and been with church groups that had signs and protest signs and but the bottom line is, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. And
that's right. That's right.
It's what God says, you know, in the Word. And so, Jeff, I believe we have fallen. Babylon's fallen, and we're starting to reap it through the weather and through other things, you know.
Yeah, we're definitely getting there. I was going to mention real quickly, when you're talking about the fall of the family, one of the founders of the feminist movement years ago, she had about a year ago or so wrote an article that was published in several publications. I can't remember her name, but she talked about the fail of feminism. She said, we told women that you don't want to have a strong male husband. You don't want to have, you don't want to be in the household. You don't want to take care of children. You don't want to be nurtured by your husband. You don't want to be kept safe. You don't want to be a help for your husband. You want all these other things. And then, of course, as they went through the wave of feminism and they come out the other end, they realized, no, that's exactly what they wanted. And it was interesting, as she listed out the things, what the things that women really want, it almost matched perfectly with what's mentioned over in the book of Genesis, how the woman would, you know, be subject to her husband, wants a strong male role model, will be the helpmate for the husband, would raise the children. So everything that they said, woman, you don't want, they went through the whole mess and realized, no, that's exactly what we want. And in fact, some smart people have analyzed that the feminists, what they call the third wave feminists, what they're going through right now, these women who are now wanting to put on hijabs and actually go serve ISIS, there's this inward piece of them that understands, I want a strong male role model. So they're running to the far extreme of somebody who's, you know, just brutal, because there's this inward desire that a lady has, a woman has, that God has placed there to find a loving, caring husband. Well, it's getting so distorted by the devil, they're going completely opposite and picking somebody that's extremely abusive. And so, yes, this is what we've seen, is the complete destruction of the family, this idea of telling women you don't need a man. And of course, when a man feels like he's not needed, what does he do? He just checks out. And so we've had thousands and millions of men who've decided, you know what, I don't want to get married. I don't want to have a family. I don't want to be involved in any of that because it's just I'm told constantly I'm not needed, I'm not wanted, I'm useless. And so the devil has played a very wonderful trick that has just completely destroyed the families in America. And that's another piece that has to be built up. The father has to get not only his backbone as a Christian, but his backbone as a husband and a father.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Thank you, Pastor Keith. We've run out of time, but God bless you guys. Appreciate you being part of the show. And I just want to wish everyone a good evening and thank all those for listening. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Daniel. Shalom, thanks, guys. God thanks, Pastor.
God bless. God bless you, brother. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com.